right, season 1.
Episode 4.
Yep, I was going to say season 4.
And you would have been wrong. Would have been wrong.
This one is... They're all a doozy, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, yeah. Snapped did not hold anything back.
No.
Out the gate.
And actually, Tori was just saying this before we started recording, that, like, the ones we've done so far, like, the wives have, like, had it all. They've had, like, the perfect life, pretty much, and everything they could want, successful, all this stuff, and it still was just not enough. They're not all like that, but it's just...
So far.
Yeah, interesting how that's happened here. This one is Elena Kaligis.
For beautiful Russian emigre Elena Kaligis, America was a dream come true.
She was like a kid in a candy store.
She had a millionaire husband.
She used to call him her big teddy bear.
And more money than she could spend.
She shopped in the stores, Saks Fifth Avenue. She bought things in Tiffany's.
Money was not any object, period.
But when the body of Elena's big teddy bear washed up in a barrel, her American dream became a nightmare. A twisted tale of sex, betrayal, and cold-blooded murder. Next on Snapped.
She was born in 1966 in Moscow, Russia, and grew up very poor. Her mother was addicted to drugs, and she had a very unstable home life. When she was 17, she met 34-year-old Boris Kaligis. His nickname was Wild Boar.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And according to his financial advisor, Yuri Sverdlov,
that actually sounded great.
Okay, all right. I mean, I'm just a Tennessean doing what I can.
You're just a Tennessean messing everything up.
Yeah. He was a nice, outgoing, heavyset, big guy. That's what his financial advisor said.
I mean, that is a description, but would I want that to be my identifier? I don't know.
Right. Now, it's also correct, but I don't know how much some of that mattered.
Yeah, it's a little shallow.
Yeah, yeah. And this guy's supposed to be really good friends with him, but he's like, he's friends with him for many years, and he's like, yeah, you know, he was a good guy, heavy set. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Like, what if that was, you know, like somebody like you and I, and I'm like, well, she was a great person and she was blonde. Sure, it identifies you, but
she sometimes let her roots go a little too long.
That's just a judgment. It's a choice.
It's a choice. Well, sometimes it's a choice, not in quarantine. Actually, my hair has looked better during quarantine. I haven't had it touched. I don't know what's happening
here. It looks
great.
It's looking
great. I don't know. Something happened here.
This is the part of the episode where Torella just brags about herself.
I mean, quarantine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Boris was a millionaire. He had made his future. Mm-mm. I meant fortune. But I typed the word future. I was like, what?
Wow.
He made his fortune. And his future.
Yes.
In airplane fuel.
Oh.
This is something I don't know anything about. It's like, I invest in new technologies. I don't know.
Blimps?
Blimps. Maybe he had some blimps. Elena said that she was with Boris from such a young age that she hardly remembers herself without him. Like, once they met, they were just together all the time. And Boris ended up leaving his current wife and his son to move in with Elena. It was like immediate. He just said, like, bye, Felicia, and left.
Mrs. Wild Boar and baby Boar
just
left.
Yep. Gone.
Terrible.
Even though Boris was a millionaire, their life was not all rainbows and butterflies because the business he was in was super dangerous. Yuri, the financial advisor, said that Boris had 8 business partners and every single one of them was killed by mobsters.
The airplane fuel business?
I have to wonder.
Sure.
If not all of his business was...
legit?
Yeah. Because if you're... Now, I don't know about the airplane fuel industry. I don't even know what they use. You know?
Yeah.
Is it diesel? Is it
plutonium?
We don't know. So, but it just seems like if you're that heavily entrenched with the mob, there's something else going on, right?
There gotta be something wrong.
Maybe we're shipping other things in some of these crates or something. I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. Boris and Elena decided to move to the United States to stay safe. They thought that if they weren't in Russia, that the mobsters maybe couldn't find them or it'd be harder to get to them. So they moved to the U.S.
And you do hear, I mean, the Russian mob or like the Russian mafia. That's, I would be very scared.
Yeah, I would too. I definitely don't want to get on their bad
wrapped
side.
Up in that, yeah.
In 1992, Boris and Elena moved into Brighton Beach. It's a tight-knit Russian immigrant community in the Brooklyn borough of New York City. I had to look that up because there's like, you know, there's all the boroughs and like this one was called Brighton Beach and like, I don't know, I just had to like make sure I
like see it on a map or something.
Put it in the right spot. Yeah, because I know there's like all these different areas.
Anything about anything in New York except for when you're walking, you're like, hey, I'm walking here. And also Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you dating? Chelsea. Where's she? Chelsea. Friends. Chandler bumped into Janice buying barley.
Oh.
For his party in Chelsea.
Yeah. Buying barley. She's like, which of these two guys do you want to be? Yeah, I don't know much about it either. I was very confused. Because later they moved to an area in Staten Island, which apparently is very nice, but I just don't know about all these places.
No, we've never been.
So they move into Brighton Beach. They really love it there, having a great time. Everything's good. On June 5th, 1992, Boris and Elena welcomed a son. I was a little confused about this. Boris was thrilled, telling everyone that he finally had a son. He's so happy he has a son. And I'm like,
what about little baby Boar?
Yeah, what about your first son? Did that not count? Like,
clean slate. This is my first American son. What? I mean,
it seems like literally once he took up with Elena, his other family was like not part of his family anymore.
This is not an etch a sketch. You can't just shake it and start over.
I think he did.
Ooh,
because it does not, there's no mention of them in the whole rest of the episode at all. I don't know.
I was so happy running around telling everybody that finally we have a boy. Then he bought him a huge, huge monkey so that he's never going to be afraid at night. That's going to be his friend. He loved him to death.
He just totally loved his son. 2 years later, they welcomed a daughter and their family was complete. With a growing family, Elena decided to buy a home in the Tote Hill area of Staten Island. So this is an area that is like super duper fancy. It has like really expensive private schools. He paid cash for the 9,000 square foot mansion that they had. Yeah, on East Loop Road.
Wow.
It had an indoor heated swimming pool, a garage, which I think there is not as common. They listed it like it was an amenity.
I see.
Or whatever. But like here, it's like, okay.
Cool.
Did it also have a refrigerator? Right. Like, I don't know.
Or their doors?
Yeah. Like everybody has a garage. But a lot of people, I guess, don't have cars there.
It might be like the same thing because here it's very uncommon to have like a basement.
Yeah. That's true. Just because of the
limestone.
Yeah. It had manicured grounds. And they said that the house was like pristine, right? Gorgeous, fairly new. A mansion, and then Elena gutted the whole house and started completely from scratch. Like, she had every surface in the house refinished.
Wow, why don't just buy or build a house
right,
at that point?
You would think that would be easier. Because of Elena's upbringing, she felt an internal need to show everyone that she was not the poor little girl from Moscow anymore. She was now a wealthy New Yorker.
She's like the flashy girl from Flushing.
Yeah.
Except not from Flushing.
Except not a sociopath. But, I mean, except she is a sociopath.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the flashy girl from Flushing is
not.
Are
you coming for the nanny?
No, the opposite.
Okay.
So, except the nanny is not a sociopath. So, and one of the, what was her name? Falkenbach?
Oh, yes.
The
psychiatrist.
Yeah, she's like a
psychologist.
Yeah, psychologist or something. She was saying that, like, you know, because she grew up so poor and she was aware of that, it was something that she wasn't proud of. she had to do all these things. Like, once she came into money, she had to do all of these things to always project that status that I'm wealthy.
Well, and I'm gonna give you two 90s references that reference this exact thing. Titanic and Jawbreaker. They call them nouveau riche. New money. They just drip themselves in like furs and jewels and things. They're like, look how fancy and rich I am.
Yeah.
But old money, they can like clock it from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know about either of those lifestyles, but.
No, what about like not so riche?
Yeah. What about like the opposite of riche?
Yeah, nacho riche.
That's literally the opposite. Yeah. Nacho riche. That's wow.
Yeah.
Kind of love it.
Yeah. So like we're the kind of people that we have to really strongly consider, weigh our options. Can we add the cheese dip on? Do we need a drink and not a water? I don't know.
Yeah. And you got to pick one of the two. You can't have both.
Oh, absolutely. You can't have both. Yeah. The only problem was that Boris's company had him in Moscow 3 weeks out of the month. He was always traveling.
Out of every month?
Yeah, he was gone 75% of the time. And Elena said she worried that something was going to happen to him, just like his other business partners. He's always in Russia. So, like, they've moved away. It's keeping her and the kids safer, but...
But he's not safe.
Right. She was always worried that something would happen to him. And she was... obviously very lonely.
She missed him a great deal. And, but he was very busy making money. And so that was kind of, she was torn between wanting to have the money and wanting to have her husband with her and wanting her family.
So it's like, I want him home, but I'm not sure that I want him home more than I want the money he makes. I'm not necessarily ready for him to make a career change.
Well, you've got a lifestyle to uphold,
And right? Everything's riding on her presenting that.
Absolutely.
Which kind of sets everything up because she's literally one of those people who's willing to do anything that it takes, no matter what, to hold on to that because it's that important to her.
And I just looked it up. So the flight from New York to Moscow is 10 hours.
Yeah. That's so long.
It's just, I mean, I get the safety measures or precautions that you'd want to take for your family, but you might as well just stay in Russia. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you're only
home 5 days?
Yeah, exactly. You've got two of those days are soaked up traveling. Oh, gosh. In March of 2000, the family planned a week-long Disney vacation. But for some reason, Boris just never showed up to it. So apparently he was supposed to have been in Russia before, and then he was just going to meet them at Disney. They don't go super into the details of this.
And we're talking like Orlando, Florida Disney. Okay.
But he just never showed up. And at first, Elena was like, oh, that's not super unusual. I mean, he usually, like, he has to go to Russia for work unexpectedly all the time. So maybe he just stayed over and didn't call her. But I'm like, you guys booked hotels. You paid, like, at Disney, you have, like, the dining plan and all that, so you pay per person. Like, you don't think it's weird that he never showed up?
Yeah.
And you're just, like, not gonna try and get in touch with him?
Right.
When she got back home from Disney, Boris was nowhere to be found. So then she said, well, I thought we'd get back home and he'd be there. And he wasn't. So after several days of being back, Boris's brother, Alexander, got super worried because he had not heard from Boris. And they were constantly in touch. Like, they talked all the time. So he was highly aware, like, this is unusual. I haven't gotten in touch with Boris. He hasn't called me back. He didn't go on his vacation. Like, where has he been? Alexander starts calling around because Elena's like, oh, yeah, you know, I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. I'm sure he's in Russia.
He'll turn up eventually.
Yeah, he's on business or whatever. So Alexander starts calling around, and Boris had not gone to Moscow. He called the business in Moscow and is like, okay, where is Boris? And they're like, he is not here. He was supposed to be on a trip at Disney. Like, he's not here. He hasn't been here in weeks. So he finds out Elena's blowing smoke up there.
You know what?
Yeah.
Up their bottoms.
Right up there. So on April 2nd, Elena goes, and so it's the beginning of the March.
Oh.
The month of March. Oh, okay. The beginning of March.
The March on what?
Yeah. That they're supposed to go to Disney. It's on April 2nd. She goes to the police department totally drunk.
Oh.
She shows up very drunk to report her husband missing. She said he was probably in Moscow. He had never joined the family on the Disney trip. And they'd gotten in a fight just before the trip and had even discussed divorce.
Okay. Why did it take her that long?
Right.
Because it's not like you misplaced your pair of sunglasses. You're like, well, I'll turn up.
Mm-hmm.
It's your husband.
Right.
The father of your children.
And now you're saying you guys got in a huge fight and you guys possibly talked about divorce. I mean, obviously for a police officer.
Your ears
perked
up.
Yeah, this person has disappeared and has not made contact with anybody.
With anyone. And before all of this, because no big deal. No mention of, well, I mean, maybe something happened. We did not leave things amicably, you know, amicable, whatever.
Yeah, like, you would think, if you don't want to get a divorce, wouldn't you be like, okay, I'm ready to make up. I'm ready to get some resolution with this. Like, isn't it hard to be in that level of a fight with your husband? And then go to Disney and act like everything's fine for a week?
Yeah.
Ride roller coasters, take pictures with your kids.
Like, and Tigger?
Yeah. And like every picture that you take with your kids, aren't you like,
well, Dad's supposed to be here.
Yeah. I wish Dad was here for this picture.
Right.
Like, come on.
So strange.
But she said that she had no idea where he was, but she did say she feared he would ruin her financially. Like, where is this coming from? What she should not have done is gone in there drunk. That's not smart.
Yeah, very true.
The same day, the police received a call from a man named Messiah Justice. He said he knew Elena very well. Like, an affair for 2 years behind Boris's back. Well. So, Elena says she first met Messiah when she was lost one day in Manhattan. He gave her directions, and he gave her his card. And then they...
I think he gave her a little more than directions.
Oh, okay. Wait for what the narrator says.
Yes.
It's so good. So they started talking about starting a business together where Elena would have her own designer clothing line, because this Messiah Justice guy is like, hey, just walking down the street or whatever. And he's like, here's my business card. I am a fashion designer.
Okay, this is literally Supermodel Documentary Hour from Superstar, when they're like, she's like, I was just walking down the street one day and the man comes up to me and he says, do you want to be a supermodel? And I say, oui. And the next thing you know, I'm on the cover of Vogue.
because when does this happen?
Like, it never happens.
He's a fashion designer and he's just like bumbling around the freaking sidewalk. Like, I don't think so.
Right? And he's like, hey, you want to go into business with me?
Yeah. You look like you could have a designer clothing line.
And a killer business instinct.
Yeah. So the narrator goes,
but Messiah didn't just want to dress Elena. He wanted to undress her.
Clever girl.
I live for it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, so he starts coming on to her, telling her that he couldn't believe her husband would leave her alone as much as he did, you know. You're so beautiful. If I was your husband, I would take you out all the time and like be around, and like I would never want to leave you for that long. And according to social worker Jeanette Baskin, took advantage of her vulnerable state. She fell for it hook, line, and sinker. They started out meeting at hotels in New York City, but eventually Messiah practically moved in for the 3 weeks out of the month that Boris was gone to Moscow. Yeah, like, in front of her kids, it was like known to everybody essentially except Boris that Messiah was Elena's boyfriend. Bold. And that's just like how it was.
So bold.
Yeah. What if he came home early on a trip or something?
Right.
You wonder, like, because the Falkenbach lady was like, people who do that, where like they bring another person into their house, especially with kids there, like their kids are like 6 and 8 or something like that. Like, they know what's going on.
100%. And I don't know, kids, I don't know about that age, but when they're younger, they just say what they see. How did she not think that they would be like, hey, Dad, this guy Messiah's been here all for the whole time you've been, you know, like just in passing, not even like trying to spill the beans.
Why is Messiah not still living here?
Yeah.
He was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, Dennis the Menace. Mom and Dad go into their bedrooms and they start wrestling with their shirts off and they get really grumpy. Okay, well, you remember?
That is like such a fear of mine. I'm always like, do I hear Ben moving?
Right?
He's been coming down the stairs. They're sneaky.
They are sneaky.
But yeah, they notice everything. Like, and they don't know not to say certain things. Like, I have been breaking out lately, and Ben's always like, what's that red stuff on your chest? I'm like, well, those are zits. Okay, thanks.
Like, thanks for calling me out, man.
It's like, oh, okay, zits then. Okay. Like, stop it.
Quit talking about my zits, man.
Yeah, but she said that people either do that, like move them in. Sometimes they do it because they kind of want the other person to find out.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe they'll just find out because I'm being careless with it. But they don't want to have necessarily the conversation to sit them down. They just want it to like come out so it can be not a secret anymore.
Right.
Or they just don't care.
It's got to be one of the two.
Anymore.
Obviously, yeah.
So, you know, Messiah is living the high life 3 months out of the week or out of the month. 3 weeks
out of the month.
Yes. Three.
Oh my God. Three somethings out of the something.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. On April 25th, a grisly discovery was made by two kids in Queens.
No, no, no.
I know. Boris's body was floating in a cardboard barrel in Jamaica Bay.
Cardboard barrel?
I've never heard of such, yeah. He had been shot in the back of the head and wrapped in blankets inside the barrel.
Oh my gosh. I know that the point of what you said was not... The grisly discovery was not that there is such a thing as a cardboard barrel, but it's shaken me up. I don't know what that is.
I don't understand how it works. It just either. Cardboard, doesn't that just disintegrate
in water? Think? I would think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Soggy at least.
Right. Police brought Messiah Justice back in for an interview. He had a criminal history of being a con man. And so police were like, look, he didn't have any like violent crime, but he had a lot of cons. Like, spoiler, I don't think he was really a fashion designer.
I was gonna say, don't tell me he wasn't a fashion designer.
Yeah, so he just told people stuff to get money from them and all this kind of stuff. But they were like, all right, you want to add murder to your list? You got a long list of stuff. You want me to add murder to it because I'm thinking you're the one that did this. And he's like, okay, so it was Elena. It definitely was not me.
Right, and he's very believable and trustworthy.
Exactly.
No? Yeah.
So he said that Elena had admitted to him that she had killed Boris and had asked him to help her dispose of the body. Elena says this is a load of crap. Mm-hmm. She says she needed Boris around. She said, without Boris, there's no good life. There's no father for my kids. There's no money in the bank. Like, I have to have Boris to make this happen.
I mean, makes sense. He's the provider and she's... definitely taking advantage of the lifestyle he's providing.
Right. She said that Messiah is the one that had the motive because he had learned that Elena had told Boris about the affair. And she says that Boris would have destroyed Messiah, and Messiah knew this because her husband was very rich and powerful. And Boris would have, whatever she means by this, destroyed Messiah. So Messiah knew that he had to get rid of Boris or...
he was going to be destroyed in whatever way.
Right. Her attorney says that without Boris, Messiah could live in his house, sleep with his wife, and spend his money.
But for how long?
Right. Yeah, because they don't talk about life insurance or anything like that. So I feel like there had to have been a sizable policy or something, or that she would have been left with like ownership of the company or something, because...
I didn't think about that, yeah.
Like, otherwise, why would either of them want him dead?
Right. Because he's a continuous source of income.
Right.
Alive.
Yeah. The cops, though, they believed Messiah. They felt he didn't have enough reason to get rid of Boris because he enjoyed the perks of the high life 3/4 of the time. And if he got rid of Boris, like, yeah, if he doesn't know their financial situation, then it could all go away. Like, it's working for him. And he doesn't actually have to, like, marry this woman. He doesn't actually have to... live with her all the time. So it's like, he still gets his free time too. Elena was arrested. She was incredibly intoxicated when she was arrested.
Is she ever sober?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess now because she's in jail, but before that, she was drunk all the time. She remained in jail until her trial began on June 6th, 2002. The prosecution came out swinging. They painted Elena as a cheating gold digger who was bored with her older, overweight husband.
Why do they?
I mean, Jeanette Baskin was like,
I remember because I was so offended by it that Elena didn't need Boris. He was old and fat and ugly. And that's why she killed him.
I remembered that specifically because I was so offended by it. Like, oh, Elena didn't need Boris anymore because he was old and he was fat and he is ugly. So she just killed him because she wanted somebody more attractive and, you know.
And not fat.
Yeah. And she was like, I was just so offended by it. The defense admitted to Elena not being faithful immediately. And they're like, look, she's not going to win Mother of the Year. She openly had an affair in the presence of her young children, which is not right, but it does not make her a murderer. But the prosecution had witnesses who said that Boris had been threatening to divorce Elena, which would leave her without any money as a result of the affair. So that's plenty of motive. Because if Boris says, oh, you've been cheating on me with this guy for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to leave you. And guess what? You're not going to get anything in the divorce. Well, then he's got to go away some other way where she would get something. According to private detective slash attorney Raymond Grunewald, she decided to abortion. What? What was that?
Is this somehow the Russian word for what you're trying to say?
I 100% did the thing that Adam Devine did in Workaholics where he was like super high and he thought he was singing, but he was really just like, I should have that, that, that. And in his mind, he was like, do, 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 do. Like, I thought I was saying those words, but I don't know. She decided to divorce him Russian style, which is, you know, with a pistol. I was like, oh.
It's reminiscent of any time Sophia Petrillo talks about life in Sicily.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure that that's how Russians do it, but okay.
Okay.
The medical examiner testified that Boris was struck in the back of the head and then shot once he was on the floor. And the prosecution alleges that Elena lured him down to the basement and then murdered him. They also introduced evidence from the family's housekeeper. She testified that Elena had asked her to take that Saturday off the week of the Disney trip instead of Sunday. Her day off was always Sunday. She always worked Saturday. But for whatever reason, Elena said, I need you to take Saturday off and come in Sunday and clean the basement and pay special attention to the boiler room doors. And she'd never done this before. She'd always taken the same day off. Upon searching the house, detectives found blankets and sheets that matched the ones that Boris was wrapped in when his body was found. But even with luminol testing, no blood was ever found. The prosecution alleged they knew where that blood was, they just couldn't produce it. So, within 2 days of Boris going missing, Elena had the carpet in the house replaced and disposed of. Except the company who came and took the carpet out, they didn't actually get rid of the carpet like they were supposed to. They rolled it up and they stored it in the garage. So detectives found that old carpet, but a 4x4 square in that carpet had been cut out, and that was never located.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Mm-hmm. So why, like, if she had already recently gutted this whole house and had it completely redone top to bottom, why is she redoing the carpet in the basement?
Mm-hmm.
2 days after he goes missing.
It's very, very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least.
The defense admitted that Boris was killed in the basement. Okay, he died in the basement. I don't know why they would say that, because honestly,
the
prosecution doesn't have hardcore proof necessarily.
Right, but if they're like, okay, sure, yes, okay, that happened, that's admitting guilt.
Yeah, no? Because who did it? So, but their thing was, this isn't a question of where. We know he died in the basement, but who did it? Well, it wasn't Elena.
Wait, so could this be either, what, the housekeeper or...
They're saying it was Messiah.
Messiah.
This has to be Messiah. So they're like, you know, who does it make more sense to have fired the shot?
So now is it like playing Clue?
Exactly. Is it the frail, tiny, innocent Elena? Like, I don't think you can say that. Or cold and calculating Messiah. Which one is it?
What makes him cold and calculating? Because he's...
I guess because they just think he's the one that did it. I don't know. Messiah took the stand, though, in that trial, and he came off as a super nice guy. Now, he is a con man. Obviously, he can, like, sell...
His career is to sell...
Yeah, whatever the saying is. Yeah, it's like, he's going to be believable. People are going to like him because that's how he gets everything he gets. He didn't come off as a cold and calculating violent criminal, though. He testified that Elena had called him the night Boris was killed, and when he arrived at her house, she showed him the wrapped up body of Boris Kaligis and asked him to get rid of it. Elena's attorney asks, who's the more likely person to commit this crime? 100-pound Elena, who can barely lift more than a grocery bag? Or muscle-bound Messiah Justice?
Okay.
I was like, oh. She has two kids. Let me tell you how much she can lift. A lot.
She can lift both of her children, all of their belongings, because they're not going to carry them themselves.
No. Then they also need a sippy cup and goldfish. And then on top of that, they each need 4 cars or whatever from the playroom. All separate, they can't share anything, and they must be brought at the same time walking to the car, and they must be brought in the same trip.
Oh, yes. And probably separate backpacks for each of them.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not, though, Boris was not killed by someone snapping him in twain.
Exactly.
She didn't rip him in 2 pieces. It does not take much effort on someone's behalf to strike someone over the head with whatever. Mm-hmm. And then shoot them.
Like, right, yeah.
Unless you're Maris from Frasier and you would break your little finger off because you're so frail. But they're like making it seem like she can't even pick up a gallon of milk.
Yeah, like maybe if this was like a really big shotgun that had like a ton of recoil and you had to like pump it and it hit your shoulder and like bruised you every time you shot it. Okay, maybe she wouldn't do something like that. But also... To say that she's like this frail, she was a healthy looking woman. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing about her that looks like, wow, she's gonna just snap because she's so frail. Like,
yes.
It just, but of course, they're trying to paint her as this housewife and whatever. And if we've learned anything from Snapped, guys, it's that housewives are totally capable of murder.
It does not take much effort to pull the trigger.
No, it doesn't. The defense poked holes in Messiah's story when they presented the fact that Messiah never answered a call from Elena's home that night, but he did make calls to her house. So they were like, she called you, you say? Well, we got your phone records and you called her, but she didn't call you. It's like, okay, well, maybe he forgot if he answered or called, but...
He talked to her.
He talked to her. Yeah, that's the main point. They asserted that Messiah should have been the one on trial. They said... What Messiah did was lay in wait in the basement, and when Boris came downstairs, he murdered him. Now, I'm not sure how did they get him down to the basement? Is the basement somewhere he hung out a lot? Would he have had to maybe have a wife say, oh, the pilot light's out, can you go look at it, or whatever? Like, I don't know. They don't, you know, these early episodes are super short, we just don't know, but I wonder, you know, a few things. So they say he murdered him when he got downstairs, and then he made calls from the basement to his home and cell phone to make it look like Elena was calling him for help. Now, here's the questions I have about that.
Hmm.
Is there a phone in the basement?
Right.
Because it sounds like we're talking about home phones, possibly corded phones. I don't know. But was there a phone in the basement? Could she not have just been calling him to call him anyway if they're involved? Like, is it unusual that they would speak on the phone? I don't really know how much a phone call proves. But on top of that, didn't they just say there were no records of calls made to Messiah from the house that night?
Right, it was like he called her.
That he called her. So, but then now they're turning around saying, well, then he went downstairs, murdered him, and then
to used create the phone an alibi. In the basement.
Yeah, to make it look like Elena was the one calling him and that's why he went over there.
So then there oh, so are, she did call
that's
him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did she or did she not call him? Like,
wow.
Come on.
Did your argument just collapse on itself?
Feels like that to me. Elena did not testify in her own defense, which
I... Smartest thing she's ever done.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Because she just, you know, they talked to her in this episode and she's just, I just don't like her.
I guarantee if she had had a few drinks before this, she would have gotten on that stand.
Oh, absolutely. And she, like, there's one part in the, well, it's in the trailer too, but she's talking about just like how much money they had as a family and all this kind of stuff. And the way she's talking about, she says, you know, money was no object. And she just kind of like stares down into the floor and she has this like what is it? Is it listful? I don't know, where you're like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Is it wistful? I don't know. It's just like a longing look, you know?
Yes.
In her eye, where she's just like obviously reliving the glory of never having to worry about money.
Listful. Attentive listening.
Okay, well, that's not it.
No.
So that's like listen.
Longingly.
Yeah.
Yearning, pining, craving, ache, burning, hunger, thirst, itch, urge.
Yuck. I don't like a lot of those.
Hankering. She had a hankering look.
Yep. She was a hankering for the days that she had the money. She just comes off as like, obviously only cares about money. I feel like.
Yeah.
She never once in any of her interviews talking about Boris or her kids or anything, did she ever have a sparkle in her eye like she did when she said money was literally no object. I mean,
yuck.
The whole case rested on whether Messiah Justice was credible and whether the jury believed him. And after just 1 hour of deliberation, Elena was found guilty of murder. And I mean, it's interesting. They have to put their entire trust in somebody who's known for lying. But I feel like the evidence points to her. I don't think, I mean, the blankets came from inside the house. Maybe they did do it together, but I think that she had more of a motive than Messiah did. Messiah is not going to gain, he's not going to gain anything necessarily. He could, but she stands to gain a hell of a lot more, especially if, because he found out she'd been cheating, that he had threatened to leave her.
Right, because she would have lost everything.
Yeah, that ups the stakes.
Like, absolutely.
Of the verdict, she said, guilty. It was like in a dream. Guilty. And then she's like, and just shrugs. Like, guilty. What are you going to do? Like, you win some, you lose some. It was so weird.
Yeah. Did she have a lobotomy at some point?
Feels
nobody's
like
talking
it.
About.
She was sentenced to 22 years to life for the murder of her husband, Boris. And even though Messiah was not charged with murder, he ended up failing to show up for a sentencing hearing on his lesser charges. So he was given a 7-year sentence because he big fat didn't go to court when he was supposed to.
Just an easy thing to get around. Like, there's no reason, you know?
Right. Like, why not show up and just get the minimum probably sentence?
Like, for sure.
Ridiculous. Custody of Elena and Boris's children went to Boris's brother Alexander. They now live in Miami. And I did get a little extra information, so I dug around. According to an article on Staten Island Live, Messiah ended up serving time in prison again after being released for his charges related to this case, which were tampering with evidence, hindering justice, and disposing of a body. He had used a fake passport with identifying information of somebody else to fly to Australia, where he was charged with cocaine importation as well.
Whoa.
I also found that one of the more damning pieces of evidence the prosecution had on Elena was an audio tape from a call that Elena had made to Messiah while incarcerated, but the police said through no fault of their own, they lost the tape.
What?
Yeah. And Elena ended up trying to get her conviction overturned because she said that, she said that Messiah Justice's testimony should have been inadmissible because he was obviously just trying to save his own skin by cozying up to the feds. But she also said that prosecutors had withheld exculpatory evidence in her case, and that evidence was a tape of, like, an audio tape of a call between her and Messiah Justice from jail. And they said that Messiah had called her from a police station to try to glean information, but Ms. Collegius said that Justice told her during this call that he had to kill her husband because he was a threat after learning of the affair. That doesn't make any sense. Why would he call her from a police station and be like, hey, they're not listening. I killed him, okay? Like, I had to kill him, okay? But, like, don't tell anybody that because I'm at the police station. They might hear me. You wouldn't do that there.
No.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. But the authorities lost the tape, and they say it's through no fault of their own. It just went away. They don't know where it is. But so nobody can listen to the tape. There's...
But Elena's like, you just trust me. My word is everything.
Yeah. They said the tape had either fallen out of a box or it had fallen out of a box that was placed in, or the prosecutor had unintentionally lost an envelope containing it because it was like one of those teeny little cassette tapes.
Oh, yes. Like answering machine tapes. Yeah.
So they're like, well, you know.
Okay. But like, in what world did the one piece of pivotal, ridiculous, like close the case evidence, is the only thing that's missing? The only thing that's missing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very easy to say, well, if you had that tape, it would have shown you that right. He said he killed the person. Killed Boris. But, you know, you just got to believe me that what I say is on this tape is true.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm suing you for losing it.
Yeah. Sorry. You kind of have to produce the tape there. So that's what I found. She is not going to be eligible for parole until 2024, and so far her request to overturn her conviction was denied.
Wow. I wonder if her children have any contact with her anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they were quite young when all this happened.
Yeah.
I mean, would remember her, but still. I still am, like, not okay with the egregious fat shaming that happened. At Boris.
Oh. It's like
he's not allowed to enjoy a cheeseburger. What's
Yeah. Also, they called her an emigre all the time. What's an emigre? So I looked it up.
Is that like a female immigrant?
It's a person who has left their own country in order to settle in another, typically for political reasons.
Was it political? I thought it was like for safety's sake.
Yeah.
It sounds nice.
So is that, is that different than an immigrant?
I don't know. It's almost like, what, a refugee?
An immigrant is a person who comes to live permanently in a foreign country.
Sounds like what she did.
Yeah, I don't know. So I wonder.
Both?
Yeah. Either? But for whatever reason, they use the term immigré for her, which I just, not being cultured at all, had not heard about it. Term, but
I honestly, this is how smart I am. I was like, oh, typo, she misspoke. She messed that one up.
That's what I thought at first.
Right?
Because they said it the first time, and I was like, well, I thought they were calling her Emma Gray.
Oh, so her name is Elena, but she goes by Emma Gray.
I was like, who's Emma Gray?
Yuck. We are, our country's showing.
Yeah. Consider Kathy. Or consider Casey. Chandler.
Oh, like, yes.
Get an interview with a different
Casey. Yeah.
Oh, he's like, you know, pick Elaine. And Joey's like, who's Elaine? That's how
exactly.
I feel.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So that's it. She'll be eligible for parole in 2024. Messiah, I think, is just going to be a habitual offender of all different things. Still, as far as I know, no violent crime.
Well,
so
there you go.
I don't know. But he definitely is still getting in trouble, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no disputing the fact that he cannot follow the rules.
Right.
Abide by the laws. I just don't know if necessarily he committed this crime.
Right.
He's a criminal.
I think he definitely covered it up, but...
Oh, yeah, he helped, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
So there you have it. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.